Good morning. I guess I don't have, do I have the mic on? Yeah, there it goes. Okay, thank you. I started to do a disclaimer this morning before I preached this sermon because it's not something that, it's not going to be easy on your toes, okay? It's been stomped on all week long after a guy called me and I said, Lord, what am I going to preach? And I kept coming back to this one. I'd throw it aside. I'd go find another one I had. I thought, well, I'll do this one. But then, because it's Memorial Day, this one kept falling back out of the pile. And it ended up the one that God laid on my heart that I need to proclaim today. You see, that's what Memorial Day really should be, is what God talked about. It's about those who laid down their lives, who gave everything that we might have freedom, that we might have the liberty to be able to come into our churches, to worship God freely, to raise our hands and praise Him, to bless His soul and sing those songs, to worship God. And you know, we as a nation, I think, are drifting away from that. We're getting away from who God really is and what God wants us to be and who God has called us to be. After Pearl Harbor had been attacked, President Franklin D. Roosevelt said this: those who long enjoy such privileges that we enjoy, those who long enjoy much privileges that we enjoy, forget in time that others have died to win them. Freedom is never really free. It's almost always bought with the blood of patriots. That's right. And the biggest battle I believe that we're facing today as Christians is the battle for the very soul of this nation. We're turning away from who God is. There's an erosion in our society that's been a slow progress, but I think in the last few years it's accelerated and it's becoming more and more prevalent throughout our nation. And, you know, what we tolerate today and what we allow to happen actually comes from what we tolerated yesterday. We allow to see things to go forward. This morning, my wife is sick and was sitting in the recliner watching television as I was getting ready. And here come a commercial. And it's from, if I remember it right, it's the American freedom to stop. It's American freedom for religious liberties or religious freedom. In other words, what it was all about, it was a foundation that was seeking money to be able to come against people who proclaimed Jesus Christ and God. It was a foundation that's been set up to put away God from our nation, to tear Him down. And I thought to myself, how fitting this was, that commercial. It speaks right to this message this morning. You see, history has a way of repeating itself down through the centuries. And back in Daniel's day, that nation had fallen away from what they knew it to be. You see, Nebuchadnezzar was no longer the king there, and the situation just continued to get worse and worse as his son Belshazzar became the king. And in the fifth chapter of Daniel, that's where we're going to be this morning, in the fifth chapter of Daniel, you're going to see the fall of that nation. You're going to see how it went down. And why? It's because they become comfortable. They become secure because of the huge walls that surrounded the city of Babylon. Because of the huge walls that were around that city, they had a sense of, they didn't remember what had happened before. They didn't understand the reality of what was happening now. And they had lost all restraint and respect for who God was and what God had done to help build that nation. You see, sometimes I believe as a nation, we face danger when we lose our sense of remembrance. When we lose what and how we became who we are as a country today, that was Belshazzar's problem. And I think the problem of a lot of folks today, we have forgotten the lives that were laid down and given to win us the freedom to be able to come into this church, to be able to proclaim Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. We have forgotten some of the valuable lessons of the past. That's what Belshazzar had done. He had forgotten the lessons his predecessor, Nebuchadnezzar, had learned the hard way. Lessons like this that comes from Daniel 4. God is able to humble those who walk in pride. That's what he did to Nebuchadnezzar. He humbled him greatly whenever he thought he was better than God was, because Nebuchadnezzar forgot that it was God who established him. God was using him, and God had brought about his great kingdom. And Belshazzar, he's doing exactly the same thing. He's boasting about himself. He picked up right off where old King Neb left off. And you know what? America, we used to honor God unashamedly. You go to our nation's capital and you look on those granite walls of some of those buildings that were built. There's praise for God all over it. There's scripture written upon those walls, carved into that granite. President Woodrow Wilson said this: a nation that does not remember what it was yesterday does not know what it is today or what it is trying to do. We are all about futile things if we do not know where we came from or what we have been about. You see, I believe in some way our nation's forgotten our past. It's forgotten what this nation was built upon, how this nation was founded. We have forgotten that men and women laid down everything to immigrate to this country. And why was that? Because this was a place where they could worship, they could spiritually worship God. They had the freedom to be able to say the things that they needed to say and be able to proclaim the truth of what God's word proclaims, the truth that Jesus Christ is the way, the only way to salvation. And unfortunately, I think today there's a lot of similarities between what Babylon became and what we are becoming. We face danger as a nation when we lose all sense of reality. Look with me at verse 1 of chapter 5. Belshazzar, the king, held a great feast for thousands of his nobles, and he was drinking wine in the presence of the thousands. Here we are, the Medes and the Persians. They're surrounding that great, huge city of Babylon. And what's the king doing? He's having a party. Woohoo! He's not worried about what's going on outside of those walls. He's worried about having his fun and doing the things that he wants to do. And they forgot about what was there. You know, because of their dominance in the world and all over the nations, Babylon had conquered everybody. They were the nation to be conquered. They were the strong power. And because of who they were and those walls that had been built, they thought they were invincible. They thought they were indestructible. They thought they could never be, nothing could ever happen to them. They had lost a sense of reality. He's throwing a party. Instead of being worried about the army that's breaking at his door and knocking at his door, trying to tear down those walls. And I believe in our nation today that we think we're invincible. We don't think we can be destroyed. We think that God's got a plan for us. He did have a plan for us. That was to become a nation where he was worshiped freely, to where his name was lifted up and exalted, instead of a nation where now Christianity is becoming the minority, not the majority. We've lost our voice as Christians. We're silent and not speaking out against the things that are going on around us. We allow things to happen and happen around us that we shouldn't be allowing. We should be standing up and proclaiming that we need a sense of restraint. There needs to be a sense of restraint. Look at what happens in verse 2. When Belshazzar tasted the wine, he gave orders to bring the gold and the silver vessels which Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, so that the king and his nobles, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. They took the vessels, the very vessels that had been created for God's temple to be used in worship of God, and they turned them into vessels that they were using to drink their wine out of, to party, and to enjoy their time. You know, there's a sense of restraint that's been taken away. You can't sit down and tell me that when you watch TV, you don't see all of the things that are against the morals of what we believe as Christians. There's a sense of perversion in our nation now that has got to be spoken out to. It bombards our society everywhere we turn. You go to the movies, You get on the internet, our children are on all the time, and you see all of the things. You watch television, and every TV show has now got upon it a couple that does not meet the standards that we as Christians believe should be husband and wife. All around us, our nation, these things are going on. Much like the Babylonians, I believe America has lost its sense of restraint. We're no longer standing for the things that we know to be right. And we as a nation are in danger of losing the sense of respect. Guys, everywhere you turn, everywhere you look, there's somebody that's wanting to come against the church, that's going to tear down Christianity. They stand against us all the time, and we are a silent majority. We don't say a thing. We don't say a thing. In verse 3 and 4, we see the sense of loss of respect in Babylon. Then they brought the gold vessels that had been taken out of the temple, the house of God, which was in Jerusalem, and the king and his nobles and wives and concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stones. The material things is what they praised. The material things had taken over. We see a crumbling of that Babylonian society. Nothing is sacred to them. They had abandoned all of their absolutes and everything was okay. And when there's no restraint, there's no respect. Nothing is held sacred. Amen. Nothing is held sacred. But then, this is where God gets involved, and I love it because it's an amazing thing that happens. Look at verse 5. Suddenly, the fingers of a man emerged and began writing opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the back of the hand that did that writing. The king's face grew pale. His thoughts alarmed him, and his hip joints went slack. And his knees began to knock together. He became afraid of the unknown. The king calls for all of the special diviners and conjurers of the nation to come in and tell him what all that thing says, what the hand wrote on the wall, and what was the meaning of it. And none of them could do it. And finally, King Belshazzar listens to his mother and calls for Daniel. And when he calls for Daniel, Daniel comes in. He's looked around that wall. He's looked at everything. There's now a strange silence in that banquet hall, not the revelry of the party. You see, what Daniel does is he reminds the king that Nebuchadnezzar's power came from God. Jump down to verse 18. Verse 18. O king, the Most High God granted sovereignty, grandeur, glory, and majesty to Nebuchadnezzar, your king. He reminded him why Nebuchadnezzar had been that great king that he was, because the Most High God had granted to him that opportunity to be who he was. Daniel then turns to the king and he reminds him that Nebuchadnezzar lost his kingdom because of pride. Look at verse 20. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit became so proud that he behaved arrogantly, he was deposed from his royal throne and his glory was taken away from him. Nebuchadnezzar let his own self-ability and his own self-praise cause him to come proud of who he was and what he had accomplished, what he had done, what he had created. You see, he forgot all about God and put himself in the place of where God should have been. So what does God do? He punishes him. Look at verse 21. Nebuchadnezzar, it says, he was also driven away from mankind, and his heart was made like that of a beast, and his dwelling place was with the wild donkeys. He was given grass to eat like cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until he recognized that the Most High God is ruler over the realm of mankind and that he sets over it whomever he wishes. It wasn't Belshazzar that was in control. It wasn't Nebuchadnezzar who was the great mighty king. It was because God had placed them in those positions of leadership. God had chosen them, called them out, and made them leaders of the great nation. And I tell you what, I don't think our nation any longer, the politicians and the leaders, really truly acknowledge who God is. It's not about God anymore. It's about them and their agenda, what they want to do, what they need to accomplish. You never hear the mention of God in any of the speeches, except for one, and I'm not going to get political with you, but he always at the end says, God bless America. You know, that's what we need now. We need prayer for this country. We have become blinded to the fact that our problem is not really political. It's not really economical or social. The decline of any nation always starts with the decline in the spiritual factors. And everything else is just a symptom of it. I mean, our nation has been slowly eroding for a long time. We've forgotten what all of these holidays are that we celebrate. You see, Memorial Day is about the people who gave their lives to give us this freedom, who laid it down, who gave everything that we can come to this place, that we can worship our God. We can sing the songs that bless his name, that we can praise him because he is so gracious and so mighty. The fifth chapter of Daniel concludes with these words. Yet you, verse 22 and 23. Yet you, his son Belshazzar, has not humbled your heart, even though you knew all this. But you exalted yourself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your nobles, your wives, your concubines have been drinking wine from them. And you have praised the gods of gold and silver, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which do not see, hear, or understand. But the God in whose hands your life breath and your ways you have not glorified. Belshazzar forgot all about God. He did it his thing, his way. He was worshiping the material things. Now then, we can get to verses 30 and 31. That night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was slain. So Darius the Mede received the kingdom about the age of 62. You see what was going on while they were inside having that wonderful little party and celebrating as the Medes and the Persian army, they had come up with a way that they could get into those great walls of Babylon. They simply went downriver and diverted the Euphrates rivers over into the swamp. So all of the water that normally flowed under the walls of the city into the great city of Babylon dried up. And when that water dried up and the riverbed became dry, the Medes and the Persians, they marched right underneath that great wall that they thought was invincible and slay the Babylonian nation. Once and for all, it was wiped out. And the Medes and the Persians took over. You see, very few nations have a history like America. They can't claim that they were built upon religious freedom. They can't claim that they are built upon the backs of the martyrs who gave their lives for us. We have been a shining light to the world around us. We have sent out from this nation countless missionaries to take the gospel message around the world. But we have forgotten that very message ourselves. And on this Memorial Day, we need to remember what it cost those who gave us the freedom. The freedom to be able to worship our God. The freedom to be able to proclaim our God is God. The freedom to have our religious symbols that they're trying to tear down. The freedom to be able to worship God every day, even in schools. Anywheres and everywheres, we need to be proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. And if we lose that, my friends, we're in big time trouble. I don't want to see what this world's going to be. I have grandkids, and I look at what they're living in and what's going on, and I'm going, man, I'm afraid. I'm afraid for this world. I'm afraid for our nation. We, on this Memorial Day, we need to remember that the freedom that we enjoy and be reminded from the words of Daniel this, the Most High still rules over the affairs of our nation. The Most High still rules over the affair of our nation. And I'd like for us to do something a little different this morning. You know, we always have an invitation. We always sing a hymn of him. This morning, you know what I want us to do? I want us to sing that praise and worship song that the young lady just led us in. We need to bless the Lord. We need to praise his name. We need to lift up that name of Jesus. So let's sing that song again to close our service out. Okay? You want to come lead us again? You did great. I really enjoyed it. Let's sing this wonderful song.